listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 249 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show, and today we're going to be discussing how CD Baby is evolving with the music business and some of the changes ahead to ensure we continue to be the best option for independent artists looking for success in 2020 and beyond. We get a lot of questions from artists here on the podcast, and one of the main themes in those questions can be summed up as, how do I choose what to focus on? My answer is always to prioritize and focus on the things that matter most, and to also watch out for those things you might be doing just because you've always done them that way, or because they were important in the past. Not only is that important for you to think about with your music career, but it's also important for us at CD Baby in an industry that is evolving rapidly. Chris Robley will be joining me for this conversation, which was recorded at the Folk Alliance Conference in New Orleans. And let's get to that conversation. This is our discussion about how CD Baby is evolving with the music business. Chris, I'm actually in the same room with you again.
Here we are.
Here we are.
In New Orleans, of all places.
Yes, and by the time people hear this, we won't be in New Orleans together, but right now we are at the Folk Alliance Conference.
It's amazing, as always.
We have an artist showcase tonight that we are hosting, and so Chris and I have to do a little shopping later on
get some beverages and snacks.
Yeah, the necessities for a good party.
Yep.
If anything, CD Baby knows how to throw a good party, so...
We also threw one on Bourbon Street last night.
Yes, we did. That should be on your list of considerations when when choosing a service. Do they throw a good party? Because that's going to come in handy at some point.
Yeah. No, this has been a lot of fun. Folk Alliance is just one giant party.
It is.
Or maybe it's 1,000 parties with a minute break in between.
Yes,
them.
All located under a few floors of a hotel.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yes, lots of things happening here in New Orleans at Folk Alliance, and lots of things happening with CD Baby. We've just announced TikTok distribution.
Yeah.
People are going crazy for TikTok.
We've made a lot of silly, excited videos ourselves now.
We have. And, you know, some people are freaking out because it's like, oh, this is the key to finding all those teenagers and young 20-year-olds that I've been trying to find for my music. Apparently,
this app
this single-handedly unlocks it all for you. So yes, TikTok, we'll get more into that later. But it's been clear over the last couple years that the music business is evolving. And Chris, we just made a big announcement. We're evolving with it. And what that means is a lot of new, exciting developments that are coming, things that we just can't talk about yet because they're not quite ready to announce. But one thing we are announcing is that as you move forward, sometimes you have to leave some things in the past, and we're going to be retiring our CD Baby retail store.
Yeah, and then I think this whole discussion will acknowledge two sides of that coin. One is it's exciting because it will allow us to focus on or sort of fully focus on the things that are making the most difference for musicians today. But also want to acknowledge that our retail store was the thing that CD Baby was from the beginning.
Yep.
So it feels like a big, it's almost a symbolic change more than something that's going to have a dramatic effect.
Yes. And right from the top of this statement, I want to make sure it's understood. Physical distribution is not going away.
We're still warehousing your CDs and vinyl, still happy to fulfill orders.
And I'm going to say it again, physical distribution is not going away because somebody still did not hear that. So for one key, there's a couple key pieces of information here. The majority of orders we currently ship are coming through Amazon and wholesalers like Alliance Entertainment. Actually, almost all the CDs we sold, all the CDs that Small Town Poets sold through CD Baby during the Christmas time, because that's when we see our Christmas CDs, people buying those, and all of it came from Alliance or Amazon,
mm-hmm.
not one directly from the CD Baby store. And so that's something that if, you know, so if you stocked CDs or vinyl with CD Baby, we're still warehousing them. We're still shipping them. It's just that the majority of orders we're fulfilling were coming from Amazon and Alliance. And so what we're really looking to do with our physical distribution efforts is to be similar to what, you know, there's like Fulfilled by Amazon, that we're going to be shifting towards being Fulfilled by CD Baby and partnering with other companies in order to power the physical fulfillment off of their websites, whether it might be your band website or another site with another service, but really trying to power that and be the focus of our physical distribution product.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably a stupid, obvious statement, but the entire world is used to ordering from Amazon, and that's where people go to buy everything. And so it makes sense that that's where people are going to buy your CDs and vinyl as well. And, you know, so the CD Baby retail store being retired is, in a way, it almost makes the retail process more streamlined for you, because you're going to be sending folks to a place that everyone knows. Everyone's got their credit card information already there. I think there's less barriers to making a purchase if we're fulfilling orders at a place through places like that that people are comfortable shopping in.
Absolutely. So many people have Amazon Prime. They get free shipping. They do, you know, instant buy because it's already built into their credit card's already in the website or the app. That, you know, like when I pull up the Amazon app on my phone, it's like I can just hit buy without having to enter anything. And it's just become seamless. One thing I need to make clear also is that the retail store will be going away on March 31st, 2020.
And it's not a setup for an April Fool's joke the next day. This is serious.
This is serious. So, you know, I interviewed Dave Kuhl from Band Zoogle recently, and they actually have some great tools. They're the store that you can put on your website that allows you to sell downloads from your website completely commission free. So when he was telling me that and we were talking about that, I'm like, yeah, that's the perfect option. If you still want to send your fans to a place to buy downloads that isn't iTunes or some of the other places that still sell them, that's an amazing spot to do that. And it's commission free.
Right.
So there are other options for that, because with the retiring of our retail store, that means, you know, the download options from cdbaby.com or store.cdbaby.com, I should say, will not be there either. Mm-hmm. It's really something that we had to decide on. We want time and energy and people to be able to focus on new tools for independent artists and the things that people are asking us for, like payment splits and all those things that we want to get to very quickly. And there was just, you know, you got to decide where your focus is and let some things go. You know, for an artist that might be going, man, you're taking away a revenue stream. We're really not. Because what made this decision really easy is how little activity was being generated through our retail presence in 2019 and moving into 2020 compared to what it used to be.
Yeah, it's interesting. We have an article that'll be on the blog by the time you're hearing this on the DIY Musician blog. And our CEO, Tracy Maddox, kind of outlines the trajectory of revenue in this company over, you know, if you think about it, 22 years ago, the retail store was it. That was the only business. And then even 10 years later, by 2009, I think it was only accounting for like something like, was it 25% or
27%.
And then by last year, I don't even know, it was down to like 3% or something.
Yeah. So, 3% of revenue that we were paying artists, like
the payout, right?
Yeah, the payout. So the makeup of the money we were paying independent artists, yeah, it last year accounted for barely 3% of that revenue and was continuing to decline.
Right. And so then when you say that physical is still a thing with us and that you can point your customers to Amazon, that if you're concerned about selling your own downloads, a service like Bandzoogle actually means you'll make more money on those sales. So yeah, we're not taking any revenue away. I think another interesting thing is that very few of our artists are even sort of desiring this. When they sign up albums with us. It's I don't know what the percentage is. You might know, but like
it's less than 10%.
Less than that are even wanting to send us physical product to warehouse and stuff. So if you are in that 10%, again, we're like happy to still have your stuff, still handle the physical for you.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, physical distribution is not going away.
Well, we'll say that 17 more times.
Because someone is now still to this point in the podcast thinks we're getting rid of it. We are not. We still have the warehouse with CDs, vinyl, and other items as well. And we are looking for ways to expand that in a meaningful way that is additive to what artists are desiring to do. Mm-hmm. One thing that, you know, you and I were talking about earlier, the idea of being able to facilitate something like pre-sale bundle for artists and being able to fulfill that for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've looked at doing fulfillment with partners for fan funding and things like that. And we just hadn't found the right partner yet for those kind of things. But, you know, we are talking with Bandzoogle about doing a lot of these things because they have a lot of these tools built into the platform. Mm-hmm. And so I think in the future, we're going to have some fulfillment that takes it to a place that artists have been wanting it to go to, that's a little bit more meaningful and helpful to drive revenue on physical goods.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is obvious in this conversation too, but physical is, although fewer and fewer of our artists are taking advantage of it, it was a declining revenue source or in terms of what we're paying out. Like, it is still important. So we're happy to support it as long as it's something that's meaningful for artists. And you know, certainly we've talked a ton on this podcast about how on tour and stuff, it's pretty much essential for, you know, selling merch and having a connection, giving people something to take home. So hopefully this is not construed as any kind of demise of physical. I mean, it's quite the opposite. That's why we're continuing to fully support our physical distribution.
Yeah, and that's why we're trying to be very clear about what the change is going to mean, because Chris, the press likes to sensationalize things.
Right.
And I can imagine that there'll be some headlines that really misconstrue what is going on in order to get clicks and, you know, be very clickbaity about it. But really, for us, was this thing that it's like, hey, there's this piece of our service that artists are no longer using that much. It takes a lot of time and energy for us to maintain it, to then interact with, you know, run transactions and things and just keep that thing afloat. Or we could stop supporting this thing that most of our artists aren't using anymore and put all our efforts into the things that they want. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mentioned payment splits is something that we're working on that's going to happen soon, and things like that nature, where like, this is how people are wanting to create and collaborate in the future, and we want to be able to support that and be the best partner to make sure that you're making the most money from those things, the clearest accounting,
quickest integration with new partners that kind of arise. You know, we're getting your music into India and China and all these enormous markets around the world. So the more we can focus on that stuff, the better. I was wondering if we should do like a few just nitty gritty points. Like, if people have had download cards, they're still redeemable, right?
Yes. Yes. If you have download cards that you had made through us, there will be a portal that you can go and still redeem those cards. So if your fans have download cards, that's not a problem. They can still redeem those for downloads. That will be supported. We stopped selling download cards a little while ago. So anyone who's released music, I think in the last 6 months, I don't think has had that option. Mm-hmm. I think it was sometime like 6 months ago when we stopped selling it. But if you have them and they're out there circulating, we are supporting that. So that will continue.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention, a lot of people probably have links out there on their website or wherever that direct fans to the CD Baby retail store. So I would advise you all to kind of do an audit on those and make sure you switch them to your Amazon Marketplace listing for your albums, or, you know, wherever you want to sort of concentrate on sending fans to get physical stuff. But again, Amazon is where folks are comfortable shopping, and we'll still do the work of fulfilling the orders.
Yeah, and, you know, we have some of our bigger artists that move a decent amount of physical product. Most of that is coming through Alliance, which is a partner that gets it into retail outlets that mm-hmm. still carry physical. So that all continues. But yes, changing the links are important. This is a great time to go get a Here Now page. If you want to send people to a page where you can link them to a physical store alongside all the other digital outlets, you can do that with Here Now, and you can get access to that inside your CD Baby member account.
And if that sounds daunting in any way, it's literally like one click and your page will be auto-populated with all your stuff. It'll look great. You don't have to really do any kind of customization or coding or anything.
Yeah, no, nothing at all. It's like, yeah, it auto-generates the page and it's ready to go. So that's an option. So you mentioned the links. The other thing, and I doubt many people have these still, but I'm sure a few of you do, the CD Baby music player. It's been live on our site, you know, that you could go get it and get the drop the code into your website. It's been there for years. You'll want to remove that as well. Hopefully you removed that a long time ago anyway, because you should be dropping in a player like from Spotify or from Apple Music, something that, one, generates royalties, two, helps build your audience and stream counts and things like that on those platforms where people are engaging with your music. So that's something else you want to do, is you want to go pull down that player. And, you know, we mentioned Bandzoogle as having a lot of tools and options. I highly recommend it. You could go to bandzoogle.com/CDBaby, get a website that has a lot of merch tools and selling tools, and also get some, they get free distribution. Users of Bandzoogle that go through that link get free music distribution. But things like Bandcamp have a lot of great tools as mm-hmm. well. Of course, you will have to do the fulfillment yourself if you're selling from Bandcamp. But
we've talked about Shopify in the past. You know, that's a more of an expense. There's a monthly fee that's something like, I don't know, $25 or $30. But that's a thing where you'd have to kind of find your own fulfillment solution or ship the orders yourself. But you got options.
Yeah.
You've got options.
Yeah. And if you're still sad that the store is going away, you can email Chris and I.
Yeah.
Any fond memories of us in the retail experience?
Yes. Okay. So my conception of our, because we've worked there for so long, my conception of our retail store is wrapped up in the warehouse. And so maybe this is a weird thing to say because our warehouse is still going strong. Again, physical distribution is still a thing. But I love back in the old warehouse when there was that giant ball of packing tape and labels. Shipping labels.
Shipping labels.
How big was it? It's tough to describe. It was enormous.
Yeah, it got where I think it was about like 3 feet tall. And
oh, at least.
And it was...
I mean, maybe my memory is...
It was... It got really big and heavy.
You couldn't kick it. You'd break your foot. And what was amazing is just you'd walk through the warehouse, you know, each day at a different time, and it would move like almost on its own, you'd imagine.
You'd never see anyone moving but it would be in a different spot.
So that was one thing. The other thing that is absolutely related to the retail store is my all-time favorite customer, Squid Guy.
Oh.
Do you remember Squid Guy?
Yes.
So this is someone who...
It may still be on YouTube. I don't know. It's so
actually
long.
It is. I checked a couple weeks ago. So a guy made a YouTube video talking about this story. He had placed an order for a band that I think he lived in Nashville or something, and he liked this band, and he realized he could buy their CD on cdbaby.com, on our store. So he put in, there was a little note section you could put in when you placed an order, and it said, you know, let us know what your dreams are, no wish is too big or small, something like that. And so he said, if you could, please ship an octopus or squid or something like that, and it related to the artwork of the album he was buying. So the order goes through, the order gets shipped, he gets this sort of larger than he would expect package, opens it up, and he's like, what the hell is this? And he starts seeing just random things. There was like a picture of a guy dressed in like a meat suit or something, and like some candies, just random stuff that was put in there. And then he unfolds, well, the CD, of course, but then he unfolds this package of freeze-dried, what would you say it is?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if it was freeze-dried, but it was a squid.
It was an edible packaged squid, and there was a note along with the squid that said something like, hey, we got your order, and saw your request, and it just so happened that we looked up on our wall of shame or whatever it was called, you know, sort of just a wall of weird things, and there was a squid. And we realized that a customer of ours, or maybe it was an artist of ours, I can't remember, from Asia had been so charmed by his work with CD Baby that he sent us a squid. And there it was on the wall at the same time as this American guy's order came through requesting a squid. So our warehouse employee packaged that up and sent some other goodies in there.
Well, my favorite part about that story is that the other goodies, because I asked, the other goodies that were in the box were because when they reached up to get the squid, because it was this wall that had all this stuff attached to it that people had randomly put in with their CDs for us, you know, just random stuff. And when they reached up for the to pull the squid off the wall, all this other junk fell off the wall.
They
and
just
went
threw
into
it in the box.
And so they just left. And so it's just all this random stuff. But so yes, that was because our website used to say when you would place a CD order, it used to say, you know, any special instructions or your tell us your hopes and dreams or whatever. And so that's when he said it'd be great if you could include a squid or something like that.
Yeah, and that coincided with the era of CD Baby where there was this clearly comical request, but instead of paying us for distribution, you could like send us chocolates, and that like instead of receiving things in the mail, it would be a carrier pigeon. Everything was whimsical. And so there was a ton of artists when they sent in their CDs just send us bizarre stuff. And yeah, that was fun. So I would hold that guy up as the customer of the, well, more than the decade, customer of the century. And he immortalized himself by making a YouTube video.
Yeah, and this was back in the early days of YouTube, too. So
funny, because he's sitting in front of a fire. It's like fireside chats or something.
Yeah, that was good. The funny thing is, like back then when every artist, you know, was sending us physical product. This is like, you know, 2006 to 2008. Everything was physical. We'd been doing digital distribution since 2004, but we were actually scanning and ripping all the music off of each CD and providing all the digital files for the art and the audio. And so in that time period, artists would just send us so much stuff. I remember one time we got a box that someone sent their CDs and it was completely infested with ants.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, I saw that it was like literally the box. It's like, how do you get a box of something infested with ants? We've received someone accidentally sent us a giant box of pot one time.
Oh, yeah. Which clearly we turned over to the authorities right away.
I'm sure that happened.
I'm remembering this again, the old warehouse when someone mailed me personally, because I had helped them with something on the phone, a huge box of all the Reese's peanut butter products, peanut butter cups, Reese's pieces, Reese's cereal. It was a time of generous giving.
See, people don't have to send us stuff as much anymore.
Just some WAV files.
So they don't have a reason to throw extra goodies in there for us. If you want to send us goodies, you can. The shipping address is on the website. Chris and I will take any sort of random gift, fun item. I don't think we need any more squids, though.
No, that we're good on that. And pot's legal in Oregon, so...
Yeah, so you don't need to accidentally ship us a box anymore. But anyway, again, reiterating, we are just retiring our retail store. Physical distribution is going to continue. It's always been a part of what we do, and we see that continuing to be in the foreseeable future. But that does mean that the retail site will go offline March 31st, 2020, and it's a new... era, new decade.
We can use that energy that went into the retail store for lots of cool new things.
Yep. All right. I think we covered it.
Okay.
We delivered the news. We gave the whys, the what you should do. We reminisced a little.
Reiterated for clarity.
We did that. And I think we're good.
Okay. Do we have calls and emails?
We
today?
Do.
Oh, all right.
We do. So let's jump into some questions or calls.
Oh, and while you do that, I do have one story. Yesterday, guess who I met?
Who?
Brown Randy.
Really?
He came by the booth at Folk Alliance. He did not go with that name.
Well, thank goodness.
By the way, and he was quite happy for our guidance and was...
Yeah, he think he emailed saying, you're right. Like,
yeah. And he plays in a band with another guy named Randy, and they go under the Randy Boys. And I thought that was a great double or quadruple entendre kind of name.
Yeah,
but
that's perfect.
Yeah.
The Randy Boys. Yep. Yeah. Love it. So much better than Brown Randy.
So maybe by the time the weekend's over, you'll have met him too.
I hope so. I need to shake his hand. Changing lives here on the DIY Musician Podcast. So we're going to get into some listener calls and feedback. I'll give out the number 360-524-2209, or you can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. And here we go. Here is our first email. Hey, Kevin and Chris. Nice to e-meet you. My name is Chloe. I'm a newbie alt-pop vocalist with a jazzy influence going by the artist name Darinka, based in Los Angeles, California. I've been listening to your podcast for a few months, just learning as much as I can about the music industry. I actually work in social media marketing for a digital agency, so it's very fun to learn how to implement some artist-designated marketing strategies toward my future EP release. Really loved your last episode, number 246, starting your music career from the beginning, as it really hit all of those mental checkboxes for me. So here is my question. You spoke briefly on the subject of hiring a PR rep and how it may not be wise due to price and not obtaining huge results on your first release. I have a few thousand to spend after my EP creation and music video. Where is the best place to put my money once I'm ready to start releasing music? And if the answer happens to be something around PR, where do I look for reputable music or agencies? So I responded to her and I gave her a list. So I figured instead of trying to remember what I wrote, I'll just read my response. Chloe, if I had a few thousand to spend after the production of my first album and video, and they were already complete, these are some of the things I would consider spending my money on. So first up, I said, great photos. A photo shoot with lots of options and locations will help a ton. If you're playing live, I would also get a photographer out to one of your shows to get quality live shots. More video, assuming that video is an official music video, the one that she mentioned, that I'd say that definitely getting more video it would be really helpful for other songs. And then I said Facebook ads, and the reason for more video is that videos perform really well in Facebook ads, and this is a great way to target new fans. And then the last thing I said was merch design. So getting a great logo and a couple of interesting merch pieces early can really help solidify your presence and give you the pro look. So those were the things I said. So great photos, more video. That doesn't have to be, you know, official music videos that are expensive. I'm just saying, if she said she has a couple thousand dollars, so that's what I would put towards more video, Facebook ads, and merch design.
That all sounds good. Well, there was a part of the question, though, about finding a good publicist, right? Like, if that were...
Yeah.
If they were going to go that route.
Yeah, and I said the press really doesn't make my list because there has to be a strong, compelling story that goes way beyond the new artist releases music, because that's not going to get you any coverage. Even if they give you press, the return probably isn't worth it, and I said, that being said, you can do a lot of press reach in your local market yourself. Mm-hmm. That's partly why it didn't make the list, because we're talking about spending money, and if you're going to be able to do it for free yourself, you don't need to spend the money on it. And things like the local weeklies, the entertainment weeklies, or you know, more localized press, are they going to be interested in angles probably more based on who you are, what your function is in day-to-day life in the community, compared to just the fact that you're a new artist releasing music. So those are things that a publicist probably isn't going to be worth the money for. So that's why I didn't have it.
That
but you might
sense.
Have some... What are your thoughts on looking for a publicist?
Oh, I think just the obvious route of if you have friends in your music scene that are in a similar genre and they've worked with a publicist they like, and you know, ask those people, get recommendations, see if they thought they got a good return on what they paid. And also like make sure that they felt like the process was sort of transparent and they felt like the publicist was actually doing work for them. Cause you know, it's a bit of a mysterious process to a lot of artists. So yeah, ask friends. You could also like, I mean, at an event like what we're at now, there's publicists galore and tons of artists all talking about their teams and whether they're happy or dissatisfied. So if there's sort of a local equivalent of a music conference or a music gathering, go to those things, ask around.
Yeah, it's always good to check with some artists and see who they've used for a publicist. Also, I don't know if we've said it on the podcast recently, because I know I answered a similar question to somebody, but it might have just been over email, that you know, in this email, Chloe says she's got a couple $1,000s. A publicist, a good one, will probably take up most of that money, if not all, or more.
Yeah, oh yeah, right.
So you might be able to find a publicist that will say like, oh, I'll do something. I'll write a press release and email it to a couple people for $500. You're not going to get much for that.
Mm-hmm.
An experienced entertainment publicist that might have connections at the bigger places like Pitchfork and whatnot, you know, the kind of places that people are like, oh, that's where I want to see myself. They're probably going to be on the low end, if you're lucky, maybe $2,000, but most likely $3,000, $4,000, $5,000.
Six, yeah.
Yeah. And so it just for the return that you get, I think there's just a lot better ways you can spend your money when you're new and you're releasing your first song or album that help build a story and help get you moving more, you know, in a more complete way than just potentially paying a lot of money to land one press article that's not going to do much.
Right. Exactly.
I hope that helps, Chloe. Let's move on. Here's the next email. I'm an artist releasing new music in May, and I have my CD Baby account profiles, Spotify, websites, and social media all under my band name, Beth Lee and the Breakups. I'm calling this a solo record because it veers from the feel of the last two records, and none of my regular players are on it. Do you recommend I spend time starting new profiles? I'm keeping Beth Lee as my artist name. Will I still be able to release the new music under Beth Lee on the Beth Lee and the Breakups profile? Thanks, Beth Lee.
Did you already respond?
I did. I don't think I did.
So you're in a decision time, because no. If your current music is up under Beth Lee and the, what was it called?
Beth Lee and the Breakups.
And the Breakups, and that's sort of a single artist name. When you put something out just under your own name, it's not going to show up in that same catalog or profile. So you could either just put this new one out with the band name as well, so it's all consistent, or not, but then you're going to have to manage two profiles. The song activity you have will be kind of split between those profiles. It's not all going to get tallied together from monthly listening counts and stuff on Spotify. I feel for these singer-songwriters.
I know you were in the same position.
I know.
You've got Chris Robley and Chris Robley and the Fear of Heights. So let me ask you this. You have those two profiles, but going forward, would you ever do Chris Robley and the Fear of Heights anymore?
No.
Okay.
And I solved the problem for myself when it was still an option to split that into compound artists. So I'm actually not Chris Robley and the Fear of Heights on the platforms. I'm Chris Robley, comma, the Fear of Heights. So all those records show up under my Chris Robley sort of solo. We're probably in the weeds of distribution talk now. but no, so a long time ago, you could still sort of fix that, and
yeah.
I did. And I would never release something with a band name again. It's all just going to be Chris Robley from here on out. And I really would love to. Like, I feel like there's different ways I could, different instrumentations, different production styles that might warrant that kind of different presentation. But I'm just not going to do it because it's going to just scatter my attention and scatter whatever effect keeping this stuff together as one catalog could have.
Yeah, the thing that's, I think, a bummer in the current state, because who knows what will happen in the future, but in the current state right now, like the scenario you're talking about where it's split, it's like the people that follow, for example, if she did release it just as Beth Lee, the people that follow those profiles, listen to those tracks, aren't necessarily going to get notified about a new Beth Lee and the Breakups album. And so that's where the bummer comes in. So for the answer I would give her here is that chances are that new album isn't as different from the old stuff that her fans can't enjoy it as well. Like, they feel like it's a major departure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think about the one band when I think about this that always comes to mind is Radiohead. And even an artist like Beck, sometimes his albums are like way all over the map, you know. Mm-hmm. But Radiohead's had albums that were rock pop albums. They've had albums that, whatever that last thing they released,
Moon-shaped
that I hated.
Pool? Oh, I love
whatever
that
you
album.
Want to call that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where apparently the band did go on vacation and someone else made a record and had Tom York sing over it. I think as long as the story fits, that it's you, if it's Beth Lee's project, whether it's with the breakups or not, I think it fits to keep them together. But I think for the bigger decision is do I just end the breakups? Break up with the breakups.
Yeah.
And
well, I actually, so
forward.
my opinion on this would be to keep that name and commit to that being the name forever, even if it's not a band. Like, even if you make solo records, it's fine to be Beth Lee in the breakup, because that's almost like it implies, like, it's a moniker, you know, like,
yeah.
Plenty of solo artists play under things that sound like band names. And I think it just is a cool name. So as long as your band isn't actually pissed that you're deciding to kind of, I don't know, fully co-opt the name for all the music you ever release.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's hard to know in this situation. Like, clearly they're not a part of this album, but is this band invested in the music they make with her, or is it just hired guns that like playing for her and are cool doing whatever?
Yeah.
That might dictate it a little, but ultimately, if she's writing and recording and doing everything and it's her deal, I think keeping the breakups is cool. I like that, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. And like, this is clearly not just a problem for sort of indie level artists. I mean, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, different catalogs. John Mellencamp stuff is scattered across three different artist names. Jason Isbell and the 400 unit, different.
I guarantee
one day.
At some point in the future, I don't know when, that this problem will be solved in some manner, because attribution is one of the biggest things that the industry is still fighting for on these platforms, and having proper metadata go with all these files. Because in the physical world, it was all printed there and you could open it up and see who played on albums, who produced them, where they were recorded, you know, the extra players that aren't in necessarily the band, you know, that mm-hmm. just came in for extra stuff. And a lot of that's been lost. Quite literally, some of it has been lost, and that people stopped paying attention to it and keeping track of stuff and mm-hmm. forget. So that problem is one that is a big problem that people are trying to solve. And so I feel like along with that attribution comes solving these things where you can attach things together to create some sort of broader experience around music.
Yeah, I mean, it's some sort of customizable component that's either done at the aggregation level or maybe platform to platform. You know, it's like Spotify for artists. Maybe you could go in there and suggest that two related artists should be the same catalog.
But when that is, who knows? But I have a feeling at some point, some of these issues will start getting addressed. All right, we've got a phone call and one more email. So let's get to the phone call.
Hi, Kevin and Chris. This is Phil Harris from the band Shimokita Bam Bam. I'm 51 years old and one of those older musicians you mentioned in episode number 101 of the podcast. Love your show, and that episode, well, it made me chuckle. 20 years ago, I gave up music and dreams of rock stardom and got one of those quote-unquote real jobs. Last year, I decided to pick up my drumsticks and bass again, and this go around, my goal is to have fun, make the kind of music I really want to make, and just learn more about digital technologies. I lived in Japan for 9 years and speak Japanese, so I want to make Japanese pop or J-pop fused with American R&B. Also add in some anime elements. Now my question is there a way for me to see how my tracks are performing with some of your non-US partners? For example, my target audience is Japanese speakers and people with an interest in Japan, so I'm looking at Line Music. They're one of the dominant streaming platforms in Japan. Now, I know my songs are on the platform, but I can't even get a subscription or even an account on the platform unless I live in Japan. So the question is, how do I get visibility into how my songs are doing? What can I do to increase my presence, maybe get an artist profile? If you search on Google, you can see that I have a digital presence. It's Shimokita, that's one word, S-H-I-M-O-K-I-T-A. Then BAM, B as in boy, A-M, BAM BAM. The band is named after an area in Tokyo where I spent a lot of time, and lucky for me, there wasn't a lot of competition to use it as a band name. But in general, love the pod, and if I can swing it, I hope to say hi in person at the conference in Valencia. Thanks, and keep up the good work.
Thanks for the call, Phil, and I do hope we see you in Valencia, Spain.
Yeah.
May 30th and 31st, where the sun will absolutely be shining.
It's a big promise.
Well, it's not too risky of a promise to say that the sun will be shining in Valencia in May. So interesting that he lived in Japan for a while, and the episode of the podcast he referenced, he said episode number 101, it's the Are You Too Old to Make It?
Oh, okay. Episode. I was assuming that's what it was, but I can't remember them.
We posted that episode October 4th, 2010.
Oh, 10
almost
years
10
ago.
Years ago.
Wow. And now that we're older, we might have a different answer to the...
No, this says, yes, we are too old to make it. He's got this project targeting listeners in Japan. He's here in America, but he used to live in Japan. And I liked the explanation of his band name. It made sense. And at first, when I heard it on the recording, I was like, what did he just say? But then when he got near the end and explained what it meant, his target audience will absolutely know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
What I can say is that most of the platforms around the world outside of Apple Music and Spotify don't have artist portals yet. Deezer just launched
one. Deezer did just launch one, yep.
So if you haven't claimed it for Deezer, and that Deezer is available in the United States, but it's a French streaming service, so it's the most popular one in France and has a lot of penetration in Europe and other regions. Amazon's working on one, YouTube, but as far as being able to track your activity on that Japanese platform, without an artist portal, you're just going to have to rely on the accounting reports that we put in your account. That those will absolutely tell you what service it's from.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be the best way, unless you have an artist friend or somebody in Japan who can get an account on that service and investigates, you know, to see if there are any options for someone who is in Japan to create a profile and be able to adjust some things on the platform. But since I have not used that service, because you can't use it if you're not in Japan,
right?
I don't know exactly what the options are. But I know that the idea of having artist portals is still relatively new.
Yeah, I'm glad you answered that one, because I didn't know too much about that particular platform.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, these services have seen, I think Spotify has proven out that when you give artists access to see what's happening on the platform, that they get more excited about that platform.
Yeah, completely.
And so hopefully it becomes something pretty standard, and hopefully we can continue to make it easy for artists by having them all dump into your CD Baby account so you don't have to go to all these places
right. Every
day in order just to see some stream counts. But it will show up in your accounting once the revenue comes with official sales reports. All right, we've got one last email. And by the way, Phil, tell us how it goes. I'd love to know how the project of you trying to, you know, reach that Japanese market, how that works out for you. Keep us updated on any observations of what it's like trying to penetrate a foreign market from a different area. And if you have any tips or tricks, let us know. All right, last email. Here it is. Hi, Kevin and Chris. I really dig the podcast. I've been a longtime CD Baby user for almost 20 years, since my earliest releases on past projects. I'm now doing music, indie blues roots music, under my own name, and have a question about indie record label contracts and publishing. My question, is it normal or common to have the record label trying to get 100% ownership of your publishing in the contract? I've only signed one other label contract in the past, and it was very short and simple contract, and I kept my publishing. This label has a bit more to offer in terms of distribution, but I didn't expect that part of the contract, and I don't know how normal or common this is. If it's uncommon, I feel better trying to negotiate it out. I, of course, will seek legal advice before signing. Just curious your thoughts from what you've seen out there. Thanks, Eric Johansson. I responded to Eric and said that, no, you should not be giving away 100% of your publishing. You can find all sorts of things in any sort of contract. You know, I'm sure that's happened plenty where people have signed contracts and the label has kept 100% of the publishing. I can tell you what has been standard from my experience is that when you sign a record contract and you write original music, like if you're the artist and you're writing all the songs, you know, it's called a controlled composition, meaning you own the rights to the songs because they're yours. And typically in those cases, the publisher would keep 50% of the publishing money and the artist get 50% of the publishing money. Now, I'm sure there's lots of situations where that's not the case, but in those situations, that's what I saw a lot with what we signed for our record deal and what our friends at the time were signing, where the label had 50% and then the band could, you know, start their own publishing company and keep the other. So, for example, we have our publishing companies called Small Town Poetry for Small Town Poets, and the label's publishing is called Koala Music. So if you go look at Small Town Poets label catalog, that's what you will see listed as the publishing for those songs. And of course, this is different than the writing portion. I'm sure it happens where people grab 100%, but really, publishing lasts forever.
Right.
It's not like a sound recording. So if they're going to own any songs that you write, that means that they own your songs going forward, and you don't want to do that. There's no more details about the label deal here.
Right. Well, what I was wondering is in phrasing it as 100%, if what really was being proposed is one of those things where percentages get confusing, and what it really is 100% of like a publisher's side of it. But
well, that's what I was assuming.
The 50% that's going to the writer, and then you just think, well, is it worth giving up half of this money because they're going to do something for me, and they're actually going to put the catalog of songs to work in a way that I can't, because otherwise you're making 100% of nothing.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming, that it was just the publishing side. So I was assuming that all the writer side they were retaining, but just the publishing side. But, you know, I'm sure that's something that comes up a lot. But again, that label better be doing something for me,
right,
in order for me to give up any of the rights of any of it. Because if all they're going to do is put it on Spotify, hey, we can solve that problem for you and you can keep all of it.
Yeah. And CD Baby Pro will act as your publishing admin and you're still 100% owner of it all.
Which, by the way, I was just in my CD Baby account today and just got more publishing money payout and it's adding up.
Nice.
To some real money.
I should go in and check.
If you haven't upgraded your distribution to have the pro publishing option through CD Baby and you write original music, go do it. You're just leaving money on the table because for every $5 you earn on streaming platforms, there's an additional dollar in publishing money, and we can get that for you.
And if we don't go get it for you, it sits there, and then when it sits there long enough, it gets paid to Beyonce.
Yes. And then she has to decide, do I get another Rolls Royce or what? Or you, the independent artist, could help her make that decision that she doesn't need another Rolls Royce and you need the money because it's your music that was used. Yep. So
don't help rich people get richer. Collect what's yours.
Yeah, all you got to do is go put in a little bit more information. So just do it. All right. Well, that's all we got for this episode. I should reiterate again because statistics will tell me that somebody has gotten to this point in the podcast and still has not understood that physical distribution is not going away at CD Baby.
There's always one in every bunch.
There's always. And even after that statement, and they heard it again,
once
they're
again,
still thinking.
Pay attention.
But yes, physical distribution at CD Baby is continuing into the future. We are just going to retire the CD Baby retail store on March 31st in order to make way for bigger and better things that you have asked us to make. And we are doing that for you and for us. Because we're in it together.
That was a nice, really nice summary. It's almost like you scripted it, but I know you didn't.
I didn't, because I'm looking at you.
No,
just
I could tell you.
It's
good.
Chris, that came from the heart.
It did. That was a tweet right there. So when we announced the store retirement, that just needs to be the tweet.
All right. I'll have to go back and listen to what I just said, because I've already forgotten. But yes, good things ahead, and I'm super excited about what we have planned for the future. And part of that plan is more podcasts. So
yeah.
There you have it.
Well, talk to you soon.
All right. See ya.
You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.